Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Broadcasting from the Ante Up Studio, it's the longest running poker podcast for the everyday poker player with your host, Joe Scales.
Hello, A-Team, and welcome to the Ante Up Poker Podcast, where every hand is an opportunity, every player is a friend, and every episode is a winning experience. I'm your host, Joe Scales, and I'm actually talking to you from a random back room from Play Poker Chicago's location. Elle and I stopped to see our friends here on our way out of town, and we played a fun little tournament and are almost set to hit the road again. I have to apologize, though, for the audio on Hand of the Week this week. I got stuck for time and ended up having to record that segment from the car, and apparently the acoustics are not ideal, to say the least. Anyway, it's been a great time here in Chicago. We've been able to see a lot of the A-Team here, so really glad that we've been able to do that. Shout out to all of you guys. But I also have to say, I have all the respect in the world for all of you Chicagolanders that have to drive on these roads all the time because it is crazy. I don't have a whole lot to hear in this part, but let's get on with the show.
Find out what conversations are happening around the poker table with Table Talk.
We are back around the poker table with Elle.
Literally. We just got up from the table.
But welcome to my random back room of Play Poker Chicago's location.
Yeah, today we are in the storage closet of the Moose Lodge in Joliet, Illinois, because we're on the road. We record where and when we can.
That's right. So far this trip, I've recorded in this random back room, in a hotel room, in the car.
Yes. We promised it was not going to be a whirlwind Midwest tour, and it has been.
It really has.
I think we've been in 4 or 5 states since Monday.
Yeah. Yeah. But listen, we have met a lot of people, a lot of the A-Team, a lot of just people that now, I hope, are a part of the A-Team. we stopped in here to see our friends with Play Poker Chicago and jumped in a quick tournament, kind of a turbo tournament. How'd you do?
I don't know what number I was, but I can tell you the hand that knocked me out.
Okay. What happened?
Number one, pocket sixes have been my best friend all day.
Oh.
Until.
They always are until they're not.
That's very true. That is very true. Fives were not. Sixes were. Until Jack 4 came along.
Okay, hold on. For all of the people, this is the hand. This is the controversial hand. Jack 4 is the hand of the controversy with Robbie J. Lou. Well, so you had Jack 4.
Imagine that I have a controversial hand. That's shocking. Yeah, so honestly, play's been going really well. I'm having a lot of fun. And at this point, I'm like, I need to get more chips to stay in. So I'm going to see what happens.
Okay.
So Jack 4 suited, by the way.
It was suited, everybody.
7-7 Jack flops.
Okay.
Okay.
So you're thinking you feel pretty comfortable.
I'm thinking like, okay, I have two pair, the fold around the table. Then one person goes all in, another goes all in, and I'm like, okay, I'll go. So here we are. I have Jack 4. Player 2 has 6-3 of diamonds. Mind you, there's two diamonds on the flop.
Okay.
Okay. And then the animal, Alex, at the table has 7-2.
Seven deuce.
Two. And damn if another seven doesn't come out.
So he flopped trip sevens.
Yeah. And I was all excited. So I had a freaking full house at the end of it.
Yeah.
I immediately rebought back into the tournament, by the way. And then
I had no idea because I was sitting at another table and I see you walk by and you told me something was crazy, but I really didn't know.
No, I said that was psycho.
Yeah, psycho.
The whole room erupted in laughter after that.
And I didn't know that meant you were out of the tournament. I'm still, because I'm playing at a whole other table.
Right.
And then the next thing I know, I look behind me and you're in a different seat. I said, did she buy back in?
100%. I was furious. It's been a really fun day. I'm tired though.
Wait. Let's put a little tick mark next to the fact that I'm 2-for-2 at Play Poker Chicago tournaments.
Yes, you are.
I have cashed in both of the tournaments that I've played here.
Yeah, I'm
0-for-2.
I'm tired.
But really, I mean, this week has really been about Camp One Step.
It has, but it's been a lot of deja vu feeling. Yeah. It really has been a lot of deja vu. Go, 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 go. No matter how much we try to plan to be in one place for a long time, it would just seem like there's so many people we want to see and so many events we want to attend. But the focus of this week was Camp One Step. The event went very well, I think. The space, they rearranged the space a little differently. The high roller room, guys, was impressive. So if you're in the Chicagoland area and you're interested in playing with 30 players, three of which get to the final table, they had their own bar. They had their own private space this year. I thought that was really beautiful. The top 10 prizes were amazing, as always. They had the wine toss going. They had 50-50 raffle that you could buy your wingspan on tickets.
Yeah, that was cool. I saw a lot of people with their arms out just stretching tickets.
Yeah, I thought that was a very cool idea. They had a rare bourbon auction. Lots of, and they had scratch off tickets this year where you had a 15% chance of getting a rebuy from that. So I thought they had a lot of really new things. And next year's the 20th anniversary of this event. So we will definitely be back. Mad shout outs go to Hannah Smith, who does all the coordination for the evening. Unbelievable the amount of details that she juggled and handled with a smile and patience. And it was awesome.
Yeah.
So, top three were fascinating. We actually missed the last hand of the evening because we were talking to Ed Hart, who plays third. One, because he has cream golden retrievers and we were looking at the new litter. But he's third.
Are we getting a golden retriever? Another golden retriever?
I don't know if I can do the hair, but they really were beautiful. We'll see. But Ed Hart placed third in his third tournament ever.
That's insane. He played really well for that being his third tournament ever. Like, he knew his way around the table for sure.
And it's a charity tournament. The play is wild. It is wild, off the chart. I had so much fun watching. But yes, I was very, very impressed. And then second place goes to
LV got second place after winning the whole thing last year.
And going to the WSOP.
And he went to the WSOP, won the ticket, then came back to defend his crown and nearly pulled it off.
However, second place. Reese Henderson snagged it from him right at the last minute.
LV had actually gotten down to only two big blinds. Reese Henderson, like you said, he looked down. He said he looked down at one card. It was a king, so he went ahead and put it in. And ended up with King Six versus LV's 10 deuce, which is Doyle's hand.
Yes.
So LV did not have the success that Doyle had with it.
Unfortunately.
And so Reese is going to the World Series of Poker to play the main event.
And he's going to talk with us, I think, before and after too. So we're really excited about that.
Yeah. He said he would jump on with us and talk about what he's planning on doing. I said I would give him some time to kind of
process
sort his
at all.
Thoughts out because he was so excited.
Well, he only did one rebuy, and it was the first time he'd ever played in this tournament in particular. Yeah. So huge. He only fired two bullets.
Yeah. He did really well. And so we'll catch up. We'll catch up with him, and we need to catch up with Hannah and Jeff and get them on to kind of recap the event as well.
100%. Also, must report, deep dish pizza happened today.
Oh, yes.
Luminati's, which is actually two words. Yeah. But I thought it was one word.
I know. I was like, I feel like we're contributing to some kind of underground secret or something.
Oh, and but we bought three pizzas for everybody. Three large deep dish pizzas. We got a sausage, which is a sausage patty across the whole large pizza, a cheese, and a pepperoni. I don't know that I can eat pizza in Virginia again. I'm not
it's
kidding.
Ruined pizza yeah, for you.
It has that butter crust, number
yeah,
one.
That was good.
And number two, the sauce, real sauce, but the sauce on top.
Yeah. That's true. It was delicious.
Unbelievable. Like I might dream about that pizza.
Yeah. Hey, you just reminded me when you said dream.
No.
A year ago.
Oh, yeah.
A year ago, the Dreamers documentary came out.
That did. It came across as a memory this week. And so we'll have to check out the numbers and see how that's doing and reconnect with those folks. But
yeah.
What a cool documentary.
Yeah. We'll have to see if we can get somebody on to talk about that again.
Yeah. So if you haven't checked it out, be sure. You can watch it on YouTube.
YouTube. Yeah.
It's a Dreamers documentary.
It follows a group of poker pros as they go through a WPT event. And so I thought it was fascinating when we watched it before, and maybe we can catch up and watch it again, actually.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
That'd be really good. But for now, we're moving on to Milan, Michigan.
Yep. Move out, move on. It's time to go.
Unfortunately, but we have two more days on the road, and then we'll be back home.
I promise I'm not going to sing on the road again. I almost did it, and I'm not going to do it.
Thank you. we're going a little loopy now. We're tired, but it's always a pleasure to be around the table with you, Joe.
Likewise.
Now it's time for Call the Floor with Elliot Schechter.
Elliot Schechter is the poker room manager for Rivers Casino in Schenectady, New York. He joins us each week to say how he would rule on situations that come up in your games, and he's with us again this week. How's it going, Elliot?
Going pretty well, thanks. Had a great vacation. Had a good time, nice and relaxed, feeling really chill. And now I'm back in the swing of things, so yeah, good to be back.
Yeah, you're in familiar surroundings, and I'm in the hotel room this week, so.
Yeah, basically switched places, yes.
Yeah, so we're in Chicago, where the traffic is a nightmare, but there's a lot of cool things around us, so.
Like most big cities in this country, an excellent tourist town.
Yeah. Well, I actually have a couple of things to talk about this week. I'm going to start with, on our trip here, we had somebody that asked me a question, and I thought it was a good question for you too. When they're playing a tournament and you always have that rack of chips, what are you supposed to do with those when you're done with them that doesn't make more work for your team?
For the chip racks, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, there's a couple things I suggest, neither of which is to put it on the floor. Don't do that. People will trip over it. It's not good. Generally, when I rack people up to break a table or to redraw a table, I will ask them politely to pass their chip racks over to the dealer. And when everybody's situated, I will come and get them. The dealer usually has some extra space because most of the time they've got empty banks or not much in the bank. They will hang on to an extra rack or two. And now they're in one place. I don't have to keep going to every single player and remember who I moved or try to get them that way. The second one is to hold it up like you're at school. Just hold it up. The floor man will absolutely see it and come running and get it for him. Just make it noticeable. Or once he has seen you or you've told him that you have the rack, just put it on the rail behind your chips and they'll come and get it and you can hand it off to them. But yeah, You definitely want them out of the way, and certainly in a tournament, you don't want players playing out of chip racks ever, except for, obviously, special needs. We don't want them on the floor. The floor men are obviously walking around a lot trying to keep these tournaments running smoothly. They need the free space on the floor. You don't want to create litter. You don't want to lose track of these racks. You don't want to have too many more racks out than you need, because obviously that's bulk that's got to be put back away when the tournament session is done. So, yeah, either hand them to the dealer will call the floor, raise it up, let the floor man know you got it. They'll come and get it from you.
Yeah, and to the gentleman's point that was asking me this question last night, and what I've always seen is, especially when you get down to like final table kind of deal, then so many chip trays end up on some random empty table, and then somebody has to come and clean those up, or you've got some people that have them on the floor, like right. You said, you have some people that have them at their feet, you have some people that have them on the table over there, and the ones that put them at their feet, they end up busting out, and then later on you've got random chip trays laying everywhere.
Yeah, it bugs me when I get moved to another table and all of a sudden I pull my chair out and there's six racks underneath the seat. Yeah. Never mind the mess, but like how many people got eliminated from this seat? Then now you're putting me here too.
Right.
So, yeah.
So I thought that was an interesting question. So I'm glad, you know, that we have you available to ask these questions too. But Caleb Fowler actually sent in our call the floor this week. And this is another interesting point. He was playing in a tournament and the player to his right lost a big pot. He said it just completely tilted him and he ended up leaving the poker room. He still had a very small stack, but left anyway. So I don't know how they verified that he left or if he just walked away, but somehow they knew that he was not coming back. The floor removed his chips and put someone that was on a waiting list into that seat. And their question is that the correct procedure? And shouldn't those chips be blinded out? Because those are chips that people are missing out on.
Well, Caleb, appreciate this. You're making a fair point. Yes, the chips are supposed to be blinded out, theoretically. And the tournament director's got to balance that out with demand. I mean, if you've got players wanting that seat, yeah, you've got to get your alternates in. Most re-entry tournaments and most tournaments these days are late entry, re-entry tournaments.
Right.
Usually have surrender written into the rules. Yeah, a guy on a very short stack, there's only a few minutes left in the last level of re-entry. We'd just as soon give up his chips and make a full buy and have a full stack in front of him as opposed to being forced to play the small stack. So surrender is good for the entire entry period. And that covers that situation too. I mean, the chips removed from play are rather inconsequential. It was very likely a big blind or less. And it's just not going to matter. Anybody getting that big blind, they're obviously not getting all of it because it's got to be blinded off. So, I mean, if it's less than a big blind, it's not significant. If it's more than a big blind, it's going to be out in two hands anyway, big blind, small blind. Adding that big blind to somebody's stack, especially if it's a average stack or higher, is not going to matter a hill of beans as far as winning the tournament. So who cares? But now you've got another buy-in in the table, a full stack of chips ready to be splashed, and another full buy-in added to the prize pool. Getting those chips off the table that early is much more important than letting them blind off. The tables do turn after the re-entry period is over, especially on a day two. It's not uncommon for day two players to not show and get their money later. Those chips do get blinded out. They played their full day one or day two flight session to make it to the money. For some reason, whether it's an emergency at home or whatever personal reason they have, they just couldn't make the trip. Those chips get blinded out. They've already been through the work of getting to the money. They'll blind out until they actually lose out the last chip. But early on in a tournament, and especially in the re-entry period, if there's tournament directors out there not picking those chips up, I'd like to know why. It's way too important. You don't want alternates waiting any seconds longer than they should. And again, in the long run, I mean, before too long, the starting stack is the big blind. So you might as well get the chips out of play now. There's too many arguments for and not against.
Yeah.
Winning those chips is just not going to make anybody the winner with all the tables going on. You can only lose then. You can't win. So just get the next player and get the full stack. It's better for everybody. If your opponents have no chips, who are you winning chips from?
That's fair. That's fair. Apparently, the guy that got tilted and left did not see the story where that came back and won with one big blind.
That was funny. And then, of course, some people were using that to refer to the Jack Strauss classic chip in a chair story.
Yeah, chip in a chair. Yeah.
Where I had the patient Lou explain that for all intents and purposes, Jack shot an angle and cheated. He was all in. And that chip was supposed to have been lost to his opponent, and they magically found it and kept him in the tournament. Not like what happened, which was an actual chip in a chair story. So God bless him.
I think you and I have talked about that before. Mm-hmm. Like it's definitely was not the intention, and probably ended up changing the way that rule looks today.
That rule is much more effectively policed and executed than it ever was before.
Right.
Which is the way it should be for all rules, but especially rules regarding tournament life and death.
Right.
But Caleb, yeah, I see your point. But yeah, early in the tournament, surrender's in effect. And surrendering generally means being called over to the table to remove the chips and play. But a guy storming off and saying he's not coming back is effectively a surrender. If we had to go before a gaming commission or a magistrate, they're going to find the same thing.
Right. Like to your point, one big blind or less even is not going to make or break you and your chip stack. Right. So
yeah, it's not going to make anybody the winner of the tournament at that stage. It just isn't.
And it's definitely important to keep that waiting list moving through as well. So there you go. Caleb, I appreciate you sending that in. Elliot, I appreciate you giving us a 2-for-1 today.
Glad to do it.
And let's do it again next week.
Looking forward to it, absolutely.
Let's break it down with Hand of the Week.
We're back with another Hand of the Week with Patrick. How's it going?
I am pretty good, my friend. And yourself? The loaded question.
Well, I am in Chicago, living the dream, man.
I love it. I mean, when you're on the road, this is what we call dedication, everyone. I mean, this is my man is in a car in the Windy City. He can't even be outside because it's so windy, and we're just plugging along. I love it.
We have had a blast since we've been here, and tonight is the big Camp One Step tournament, so. The reason that we're here is Camp One Step and the charity tournament that they put on. So that is, that's just such an incredible event that I'm super excited about that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I'm glad it's been a good week.
Yeah, it has been a good week. The drive down here was not bad, actually, pretty smooth. And I can't say enough how much I love what I do. So
no doubt, no complaints there. Do you you find any Jackpot Digital tables up there?
I have not found any Jackpot Digital tables, but I think I've got a couple of meetings up here, and I'm definitely gonna spread the word while I'm here. So
beautiful.
Jackpot Digital, if you're listening, we're still working for you, and why wouldn't we with all the things that these tables can do, the speed that you can get through a game, and the little side games. We haven't talked about those in a while. Those little side games that you can play while you're waiting. So, yeah. Jackpot Digital. The future of poker right there.
Ooh. I like that tagline. If they're listening, the future of poker. I like it. See if that one catches on anymore.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, what do we got hand of the week this week? What are we working with?
Well, Eric Cortez sent this in to us. And he's playing in a daily tournament. There are 6 players left. 8 places got paid, so he's already in the money. At this point, someone suggested a chop, so they wanted to split, and he was the only one that did not agree. So,
ooh, I kind of like that.
So he apparently he saw that he had an advantage, so decided to not chop. He says, already the table is pretty annoyed at me because he was the only one choosing to not chop.
You have become that guy. Yeah. And you know what? That's okay sometimes.
Blinds are 7,000, 14,000 with a 14,000 big blind ante. We are in the big blind and are the chip leader.
Okay.
The small blind open raises to 42,000. So three times the big blind. And we have the ace of diamond, eight of diamond.
Ooh, babe. All right, 42,000. You're not going to like this. You're not going to like it. I already know it. Actually, you know what? That's not true. I mean, I think I was going to say call, but the more that my gut is telling me, I'm probably going. I mean, I like ace-8. I like it suited. We're the big blinds. I'm probably going to 80, so three times. I'm probably going to 100.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. I like that bet.
Yeah.
It's small blind versus big blind, so we're definitely not folding, right?
Right, yep. You're not folding. The call doesn't really work there. It doesn't suit you with the hand you're holding. So, yeah.
Yeah, you actually, and that is probably the perfect amount. I was thinking 100,000. And then if they four bet us, if they come a little bit more, then we can still fold. We can still get away from the hand.
Yeah, very true. I doubt they would. You never know. I mean, we don't know a whole lot just yet, but I mean, even if they do, then yeah, you have your out if you need to.
Yeah. Well, Eric says it's a pretty standard open raise, so he just calls.
Okay. Which was my first cut, but.
Yeah, I think the fact that it's a standard raise is more of a reason to raise, but a call's not terrible. The pot is 84,000. The flop is queen of diamonds, eight of hearts, queen of clubs, and the small blind checks to us. So basically, we've got what, two pair?
We've got two pair. Have to go runner, runner for the diamonds.
Right.
Huh. Well, playing, let me put it this way, playing Eric's hand where he just called and a check is to us here. You're still not trying to say anything necessarily, so I could see, I mean, I could see a check as well and see a free card, but if you're going to try to, you know, I mean, that's where my gut's leaning towards it as far as playing Eric's hand. If we were playing what, you know, what I was going to say or, you know, throwing 100, then I'm definitely betting there, right. You know, maybe a half pot or something, but, you know, because Eric just called on the pre-flop, I don't see any reason why a check isn't bad here. So that's what I'm
I think you're saying the same things. This is two streets in a row. We're saying the same thing.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. I'm feeling okay.
So, yeah, I think that we do have two pair. We've got a good kicker. We've got the backdoor flush, right? But I feel like if we bet, then we're saying, hey, look, we've got an eight.
Yeah.
Because if we... if we had a queen, I don't think we bet here. We check for deception. So, yeah, I think a check is good. And Eric says, I'm certainly not going to bet into him, so I check. So we're all on the same page.
Yep, there you go. Same page here.
The pot is still 84,000, and the turn is the six of diamonds. The small blind now bets 28K. And so about quarter pot, I guess.
So here's my thought on that.
Okay.
I feel like he was either, he's either doing one of two things. One, he checked on the flop hoping that we would bet because he's, you know, sitting there holding a queen or something, you know, and it didn't work out. And now he's trying to force the, you know, issue a little bit, like, hey, I'm going to force a little bit of a bet and see if I can start getting some value out of this because he is holding a queen. Or, you know, a higher pocket pair maybe. Jacks, 10, something like that. He's got two pair. I don't know, but I feel like he would have bet on the flop. I don't know what to make of that.
Yeah. I
feel like we're getting
set up. The same. It's a weird bet, right? And it's either pot control in case we hit our flush or it's him being deceptive and they've got a queen. So
I'm not ready to let the hand go. I'm not going to fold to a quarter size pot bet, but
yeah,
I'm not going to raise him. I guess you could make a case for raising here and seeing what they do, and you get the information that you want.
That is true. Yeah, if you raise here and they've got the queen, they're coming back over on top of you.
Right. So I guess we could make a case for that. That's not a bad way to go. My initial thought was to just call.
Yeah, I call there and you get your diamond. Then all of a sudden the tides have turned and life's good again.
Right. That's true. So we could go either way here. I don't think either one's bad. I think I'm going to go with my initial gut, which was to just call.
Yep.
The only thing I don't like about that is we don't really get a lot of more information, right? So,
yep.
But I'm going to go with my gut, and I'm just going to make the call. Eric says, I wonder if he is trapping and therefore betting low, which I saw him do many times before. So that is good information. But Eric says, then again, I figure I got two pair with a good kicker and one diamond away from a flush, so I call. So now the pot is 140,000, and the river is the seven of spades.
Womp, womp, womp.
Small blind now bets full pot of 140K.
Nice pot. Have a nice day.
You win. Congratulations.
Yeah, nice pot. Hopefully you've got a little bit of a pompous or you want to show it and we get to see it. But if not, nice hand. Right. Nice queen.
Right. I mean, seriously, all we have at this point is a bluff catcher, right? This is one of those situations we've talked about on Hand of the Week before where you just can't be afraid of being bluffed. If he's bluffing, great. Good job. You got me. I'm still chip leader.
Yeah. And I want to stay chip leader, and I'm not going to waste another 100,000 to show that you didn't bluff and or prove that you did. It's a law of diminishing return there. Like, it just doesn't, it doesn't work out either way. I mean, if you win, great. You know, that's awesome, but it's not worth the risk.
Let's put it that way. I agree. Eric says, I know he has something, but I can't help but feel like they are just trying to pull one over on me because I wouldn't chop. I expected a hand like king, queen, ace, queen, maybe pocket eights, which is why he checked on the flop. I figure against better judgment to call him. I still have enough in my stack, so this loss doesn't even matter that much at this point. Cards turn, and he shows queen, queen for quads. Never even thought of that possibility. Should I have seen this? And if so, should I have seen this on the turn with the trappy type bet or on the river with the pot bet?
I think from a novice point of view, that is getting, well, this is my own opinion and whether the listeners think it or not, less and less novice by the day. I think, yes, absolutely. All right. If nothing else, you need to be on the lookout for it. And it sounded like Eric was. I mean, he sounded like he was already there mindset-wise. So, you know, maybe it was, you know, he added that little bit in about he was expecting this with, you know, the fact that he didn't chop. So maybe that, you know, I'm thinking that played into it a lot more than he realized in the moment, and he's realizing it now. So a little bit of that. But yeah, I think absolutely on every turn you needed to be on the lookout for it. He was, and just let it go too far. I mean, you got to think the guy he's playing with wishes he got a lot more out of it. But, you know, at least he got a little bit of value. And you know what? At least you know.
Yeah, I just feel like at that point, what difference does it make if he had quads or king, queen? Both of those beat you. Like, if you expected him to turn over king, queen, or ace, queen, he beat you anyway. Like, throw it away. Yeah.
Yep.
I think, yeah, you definitely got in your head a little bit about the chop. And so you have to make your decision. Just like in a hand, like, you have to make your decision and be okay with it and let it go. If you decide not to chop, don't let that get into your head anymore. You know, play your game, period.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. I think he let that seep in there a little bit too much and it cost him. And if you aren't careful, And you do that too many times, you're left without chips at all, and they all accomplished what they were setting out to do, which is to get rid of the one person that didn't want to chop.
I hope that's not the case. I don't know if he put in there whether how he ended up finishing the tournament.
But he did not say.
Yeah, I hope that's not the case. And he does have a point. He's got plenty in his stack now. But if you have, you know, let's just say what four or five more of these hands, and they happen to go this way, then you're out of chips.
Right.
You went from chip leader to nothing in, you know, five, six hands. So, yeah, you got to be careful of that for sure. You definitely don't want to play cautious. I don't think that's, you know, what we were talking about and even what he was thinking. I don't think that would have been playing cautious, you know, too cautious. I think it's just playing smart at that point, you know, and playing against, you know, what risk are we going to weigh?
Right.
So, he was there. He went against the decision he probably was thinking at the time anyways, and got a little, you know, involved up, but, you know, live and learn on that one. Hopefully he ended up finishing better than top six. Hopefully he got a little bit farther.
Yep. Hopefully he laddered. Let me know. I mean, if you won the tournament, let me know. That'd be awesome to hear. So.
Yeah, it would be cool. Hey, listen, guys, it's not boasting at this point. Just let us know. We want to live vicariously and congratulate through it.
Exactly. So. Well, Eric, I appreciate you sending that in. And Patrick, I appreciate you doing this with me every week. Next week, we'll be back in some familiar surroundings and not in a car.
That's all right. We've been, you know, when we first got going, you and I were recording together. I mean, we've been all over.
It's true.
So it's my pleasure. This has been a blast. So enjoy tonight, obviously, for a great cause. Hopefully everything goes well, and you'll have to keep us posted next week and talk about it on the next
we'll
week.
We'll do. All right. Thanks, Patrick. Talk to you later.
See ya.
It's time for Joe's
You know, a year ago, Elle and I were here in Chicago covering the same charity tournament for Camp One Step. And honestly, it's been good to kind of shine a mirror back at ourselves / any up and reflect over the last year. It's easy to get stuck or bogged down and you think, why can't I just get past this one obstacle? But when that happens, you tend to miss the small changes that are also important. I mean, typically it's the bold strokes or major changes that capture our attention, right? Yet, nestled within our daily routines, there exists these more subtle, small improvements. While individually they may seem inconspicuous, when we weave those together, they create this kind of mosaic of progress that are actually pretty profound. Consider the power of compound interest, where small deposits made regularly accumulate into substantial wealth over time, right? Maybe it's opting for healthier snack choices. Or for me, remembering to eat it all. Sometimes I get so involved in all the things and realize, man, I haven't eaten anything. And your brain just doesn't work as well when you don't have the nourishment you need. These things may seem trivial, but their beauty lies in their simplicity. They require minimal effort, yet they can wield significant influence over our lives. In our pursuit of mastery over this game of poker, every piece of knowledge gained, no matter how small, contributes to our success. Whether it's studying a particular subject in poker each day or dedicating 15 minutes to special deliberate practice, the cumulative effect of these efforts adds up. What seems like a drop in the ocean becomes a reservoir of improvements. In a world captivated by instant gratification and monumental achievements, it's easy to overlook small improvements. Whether it's in personal growth, professional development, or the pursuit of poker excellence, the journey begins with the philosophy of continuous improvement and recognizing the significance of small advances. So let's celebrate the small victories, the incremental progress. Let's embrace the power of tiny steps in our game. Because somewhere in the quiet whispers of these unnoticed improvements lies the symphony of our success. That's today's One Outer, and that's today's show. I'll see you next week, A-Team. And until then, I'll see you at the tables.
The Any Up Podcast is a production of AnyUpMagazine.com. Contact the show at podcasts@anyupmagazine.com or call the show at 540-339-7741. If you'd like to advertise, send an email to editor@anyupmagazine.com.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.